listening to The Martial Brain, the podcast that explores the intersection between the martial arts, science, critical thinking, skepticism, and that wacky organ that floats inside our skull in a pool of cerebrospinal fluid, making life unpredictably inspiring, infuriating, and sometimes just batshit crazy. I'm Jeff Westfall for The Martial Brain. The Tactical Wheel, Part 1. The Small Wheel. In episode number 23 of this podcast, entitled Rock, Paper, Scissors, Lizard, Spock, I laid out a case that it can be a valuable mental exercise to compare many aspects of the martial arts to the old game, Rock, Paper, Scissors. Today I'm going to tell you about the tactical wheel, a concept from fencing, that also bears a great deal of similarity to the game. As a matter of fact, you could illustrate rock, paper, scissors with a form of the tactical wheel. Imagine a wheel like the one from the TV game show, Wheel of Fortune. But instead of being divided into as many sections as it is on the show, it's only divided into three. At the top of the wheel is the section for rock. At the lower right is paper. And at the lower left is scissors. The idea is that you always want to play whatever is adjacent clockwise on the wheel from whatever your opponent played, and you want to avoid playing whatever is adjacent counterclockwise. Now, let's apply this concept to fencing, and by extension, to other martial arts. The tactical wheel has more than one version. Today I'm going to talk about the simplest one, the small tactical wheel. The wheel in this case is divided into four sections. Going clockwise around it, we will alternate between possible actions for the attacker, or to put it another way, the fencer who initiates the sequence, or phrase in English, and the defender, or the fencer who reacts to the attack. The section at due north is for the attacker, and is called simple attack. In fencing, there are three kinds of simple attack. The first is the direct thrust. That means that your opponent's blade is not in the way, leaving the path to the target open. You simply thrust to the target area along that path. In the other two forms of simple attack, your opponent's blade is blocking the path to the target. If you think his weapon, hand, and arm are weak, either because he himself is physically weak, or he is not gripping tightly enough, you can knock his blade aside with your blade using a technique called the beat, before thrusting to the target. That's called a beat attack. On the other hand, if you think his weapon, hand, and arm are strong, you can do one of two things, each of which relies on what I call the dude principle. The dude principle is the observation that when one dude does something aggressive to another dude, it is highly statistically likely that the second dude will do something aggressive in return, frequently exactly the same thing in return. In the first case, you will beat against his blade with yours, as if you think he is weak and you can move it. Being a dude, he immediately beats back at your blade, which is precisely what you want. At the moment your opponent so predictably answers your beat with one of his own, you leave your weapon hand precisely where it is, but relax your fingers, which momentarily loosens your grip, allowing the tip of your blade to drop just enough that the opponent's beat action carries his weapon through the space your blade had occupied and across the center line. Using practiced timing, you then squeeze your fingers to snap the tip of your blade back up and in line with the target so you can attack with a thrust into the open line, which is now on the far side, behind your opponent's blade. This extremely simple and very cool tactic is called a disengage attack. The second use of the dude principle against an opponent with a strong hand and arm is accomplished by laying your blade against his and pressing hard enough that the dude principle kicks in and he pushes his blade against yours in return. This creates another golden opportunity to use the disengage in order to open up a line for an attack. These three, the direct attack, the beat attack, and the disengage attack are all considered simple attacks. They all belong at the north side of the tactical wheel. But some opponents, as Homie D. Clown used to say, don't play that. I mean by that simple attacks, at least your simple attacks, don't seem to work on such opponents. They keep their blade in a proper on-guard position, which is not easily beaten aside, and they don't overreact to your beats or to pressure from your blade. In addition, they are at the ready with defensive skills if you do attempt a simple attack, the most fundamental of these defensive skills being the parry, which is an important part of the eastern section of the tactical wheel, which is labeled parry and riposte. This is the first entry on the wheel for the defender. Now, the word riposte does not refer to passing along something juicy on the internet. Spelled R-I-P-O-S-T-E, riposte means an attack that you execute immediately after successfully parrying your opponent's attack. So the common fencing answer for the defender to the simple attack is the parry and riposte. From there, going further clockwise around the tactical wheel, we return to options for the attacker as we come to the southern quadrant. This quadrant is labeled compound attack. That means that the attacker has guessed that the defender is going to use the parry and riposte from the east quadrant of the wheel. If that's true, then the compound attack is the way to go. It involves the attacker using a feint in order to draw out the defender's parry, and then moving his blade around the defender's blade before attacking into the line that is open. The line will be open because the opponent's failed parry will have removed his blade from its centralized on-guard position. Finishing our trip around the small tactical wheel, we come to the western quadrant, which is labeled counterattack, and we are back to options for the defender. In this case, the defender has guessed that the attacker is employing a compound attack. If he's right, that means that the attacker's first move will be a feint. Since a feint can't hurt you, and almost surely will not deflect any attack you might execute, you needn't worry about defense, at least not for that precise moment. Instead, you can attack with impunity during the attacker's feint. That's a counterattack. And if you have guessed correctly and executed your counterattack correctly, you will land one of the prettiest shots in all of combat. So as the attacker, what do you do against a defender who is good at using the counterattack? Well, in the case of the small tactical wheel, you go clockwise one more section and arrive back at simple attack. What? We've worked our way up through more and more sophisticated answers to the tactics of our opponent, only to arrive at the simple attack? How is it possible that such a basic tactic would all of a sudden be a valid choice? The simple answer is time. If you guess correctly that the defender is going to use the counterattack, that is, that he will react to your attack with an attack of his own, without parrying first, then a simple attack is a good choice. Action is faster than reaction. Unless your opponent is much faster than you, your attack should land first. If your opponent is a little faster, causing both your attack and his to land at the same time, which happens often enough in fencing that they have a special rule for it, your attack will be the one that counts. That special rule, which is the reason that your attack wins a tie, is called right of way, and I plan to explain it in more detail in a future podcast. Well, that brings us full circle around the small tactical wheel. Now, at this point, you might say to me something like, "Hey, Westfall, you're not telling me anything I didn't already know. I use feints all the time to draw out my opponent's defense." I get that. The tactical wheel is not so much new knowledge as it is an efficient and elegant way to organize and apply the knowledge. And fencing theorists were thinking this way hundreds of years before anyone else was. Next time, I'll describe the large tactical wheel and how both of them are relevant for other martial arts besides fencing. Anyway, That's what I think. But I could be wrong. Let me know what you think, and check out old episodes of the Martial Brain Podcast at my website, rpmartialarts.com. I'm Jeff Westfall for the Martial Brain. The Martial Brain is produced by Raging Squirrel Productions in association with the Rising Phoenix Martial Arts Academy. If you like the podcast and would like to help it grow, go to iTunes or Stitcher and give it an honest rating and review. Contact me with questions about the Martial Brain or the Rising Phoenix Academy at our website, rpmartialarts.com.